You're listening to Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. So today we're going to have another fascinating show for you guys. Robert Van Dryce Mitchell is going to be joining me again. And as an Illuminati defector, there is no end to the fascinating things he has to say. And let me tell you, prepare the pillow for your jaw. I am going to say a few things before getting to him. One, I want to address a small issue we've been having on our end, and this has been affecting some of you that have been sowing into us financially. We've had a small glitch on our website recently where the website's spitting out messages saying, you know, thank you for your donation of $0, when in fact people have given actual amount of dollars. And that is a glitch, because the weird thing is that on our end, it's going through fine. But on that receipt, whatever that auto-generated message is, there's not a translation of that being reflected. So first of all, I just want to say thank you again to all of those of you that continue to support us financially. We just are so grateful for you. It's really a non-issue for those of you that may have been confused by that recently. And I just want to, you know, apologize for any inconvenience that may have caused you or question marks. But we're getting that resolved on our end. It's a technical thing. Look, we are always being harassed by the enemy one way or another. This isn't exactly easy to do. So I just want to encourage you guys, just hang with us. And as problems come up, you know, things don't quite go 100% perfect. We're just fixing it as we go along. And I wanted to say that. Now, for those of you that have pre-ordered Prayers That Shake Heaven and Earth, good news is they're shipping the books right now. I mean, the books are in the mail as I speak this intro. Now, if you've heard this and it's, you know, later on in the week or weekend or whatever, we probably already have the books by that time. And we are going to pack them up and ship them out as soon as we get them. We already have a little thing set up to do our operation. And so, I mean, we want to get those books to you as soon as we have our hands on them, folks. The wait is over. And we're going to be moving our website over so that those of you that are now ordering the book will just have an automatic, you know, it's order, and you're going to have it shipped to you within a couple days of that order. With that said, I am excited that things are growing and fleshing out, and more help is available to make more things offered. Now, there is a prayer class coming up called Prayers That Shake Heaven and Earth Course. And that's at brideministries.com. You can sign up right now. 8 weeks of training on how to pray and how to pray effectively. I encourage you guys to sign up for this class and take it, especially if you are looking to elevate your prayer life, to be more powerful, to have better days, better nights, better, you know, everything. Because a lot of Christians, you know, our problem is that we weren't taught how to pray. You know, people just said, well, go pray. And it's like, okay, how do I do that? Well, you can learn. And that's $59.95 right now, bridemovement.com. You can just go to our shop page. I also want to let you guys know, if you haven't joined us at the Fireplace Church, there's no better time. We have been having such a good time at the Fireplace Church. It's growing, and there are more people joining us every week, and I'm really excited to see that. We are still on the WebEx platform. We've been talking about such cool things. Recently, we've been on a series on mountains. The next series after we get done with mountains, whenever that will probably be called Heaven Nailed to Earth. And I'm just so excited about all the different revelations that God is dumping out. And so I use that platform to dispense a lot of that teaching that I don't get to on the podcast. So really excited to make that available. Folks, I think I'm done. We're going to get to the program. I'm not going to take any more time up here. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. Okay. Okay, folks, so we're back on Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall for The Depths of the Illuminati, Part 8. This has been an extended series of episodes that I've done with Robert Vandreist Mitchell, who has defected from the Illuminati after 49 years of active use and programming. His programming is some of the most complex and highest level I've personally encountered, and I have been working with him for years, and those of you that support this ministry have supported our ongoing work to break the power of darkness and establish the victory of Jesus Christ in his life. And he has the most radical testimony, and some of the things that he has shared has just been mind-blowing for many of you. And today, we are going to continue that exact thing. Robert, thank you so much for joining me again on Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall.
You're welcome, Daniel, and a good afternoon. And yes, it has been in upcoming March now 4 years that we have been doing the counseling. It has been quite a journey, to be honest, and there's still a lot to come. So yeah, you could say, I'm not sure if probably there are maybe even others like me who are just as radical, but I don't believe that I'm the only one being used that long and that extensively. But nonetheless, yeah, my journey has been quite long in how they have used me and the things that I have seen from my first years up till the present. And even times they're still using us, as you know. And things with this is on the list that you gave me with certain subjects that are still using us. I got a feeling that may could be connected with etheric implants or something, or even maybe implants in altars, I don't know. But that could be maybe one of the reasons that they still can access us in certain ways, because we have been walking now with God for 4 years, and you would expect when you walk with God, then the enemy cannot access you any longer. That is always what I always thought, but they still seem to access us at times. Well, and
that is true. You bring up a great point, and we're kind of coming right out the gate on a point that I think is relevant to a lot of survivors. There is a thought that if a person just repents and just comes to Jesus wholeheartedly, that God will then shut down all of the evil attacking their lives and they'll be fine. It's this philosophy that if you just get saved, everything gets taken care of by God because he's supremely strong and mighty. And not that God isn't supremely strong and mighty, but when it comes to the journey that a survivor of satanic ritual abuse, mind control agendas extending to the higher cults inclusive of the Illuminati, it's not that simple, folks. And it's also not something that one should condemn themselves by or be condemned against. The survivors that I work with are continually attacked and harassed long after they lay their lives down at the cross of Jesus Christ. And I think that for our religious friends out there, this is one of the things that we just need to accept. There is a journey to freedom and wholeness that doesn't happen overnight, and it requires a lot of work, tough work, work that confronts technologies, that confronts things going on in other realms, that confronts polluted timelines, that confronts all kinds of programming, mindsets that engage the will of broken pieces of humanity that maintains access to that person for the powers of darkness. And so I'll tell you, journeying this with Robert has been just an example of how that works, but it is not exclusive to him. I'll tell you, this is something that the church needs to wake up to and begin to recognize that, look, just because a person has come to Jesus, it doesn't mean that they're going to stop getting attacked, nor is it their lack of faith that's the cause of that. The people need to be empowered with resources, equipping, and techniques to absolutely engage the and receive the deliverance and the healing that they need from many levels. So I'm glad that you brought that up, Robert, because that's really important for people to understand.
Yeah, I thought I'd bring it up because people think when you come into Christ, then things will stop with being taken and other things, and in my case, up till the present, I had still that parts of me or myself has been taken to rituals. For instance, one of the rituals that I talked with you was about a major ritual that took place in December 25th, 2015. So that is less than 2 years ago. It's about 2 years and 2 months ago. And that was a major ritual for the Illuminati, at least for the Rothschild side of the Illuminati, because we may discuss in your programs that we also got the Romanov side, who are opposing and fighting against the ones that is controlled by the Rothschilds. But people have to remember, when you are so fractured as I am, that means that you got a lot of altars who has not come to Christ, and they got a hold over those altars, and those altars got also agreements with the dark side. So yeah, so long, even if you got only one, let's say, hidden altar, listeners, that means that they still can access you, even if the core and a majority has come to Christ. It only needs one altar that still got agreements with the dark side, with Lucifer / Satan. Yeah, then survivors can still be taken. And it can be a very lengthy process. You don't heal overnight. As Daniel already said, in my case, that I came out of the Illuminati was in 2013, or my programming started to break down slowly. And in my case, that meant that I was used and fully programmed for at least 49 years. And we are now 4 years down the line of, in the summer, it's going to be then 4 years, but still, they're still accessing me, but means that I'm still tied, or parts of me are still tied to the darkness and to Lucifer. And that means so long there's even one part still in agreement, then they can take me. And also that means for other survivors.
Now, just to give people an idea of how complex this is, Robert, when we got started working, there was an inner world that contained a school that was being overseen by James, who was essentially a type of guardian angel. And that was the situation that I met Robert in as one of his altars when he first came to me. And James' school had about 30 altars inside of it, on the inside. And there weren't many safe areas inside of his inner space or inner world. I would call this regions of the subconscious. And we did have that school. Since beginning to work, Robert, can you explain to people how the safe areas of the inner world have expanded and the kind of populations that now exists within the safe areas that are surrendered to Jesus?
Yes, to come to the school that you already talked about, that got currently over 49,000 plus students, if that is the right term for it, or alters that going there. So that has that also shows connected with how we have been growing in population by setting alters free. Because in our case, they also created a zillion of internal programming centers on the inside. And those centers still operate in a real-time setting. So even that the physical programming maybe was stopped, they still did it on the inside, in what you may call the subconscious world or the subconscious level. But from an altar's point of view, the world on the inside is just as real as we see in the outside world. And the subconscious can be just as big as, let's say, like a universe, if that makes sense.
So the school has 49,000. What plus, about the surrounding areas?
In the 4 years that we have been now busy, the count is now on the altars and parts that has been set free. I think we come now near the two million. And so also the living spaces has been growing. You know, about one of them is Brittany, you call her Smarty Pants. And don't tell her in her face, because I don't think she's going to like that. But she oversees now the creating as an architect about the inner plannings for cities and villages and whatever she creates. And we have now whole metropoles that are, you could say, quite sizable to an everyday city or town in the U.S., in size. And especially when we take it, when we started out by now, it has grown exponentially, and it's still going to grow into the future even more, because I think we only just starting on our journey with what we have done so far. We also created hospitals. As I said, the internal world is in a way a mirror of the outside world. And this count not only for us, but this count, I could almost say, for almost all SRA DID survivors. Probably you know it better, because you work with them, and they also got their own inner worlds with their own thing, with their own setups. We got a water park. At one point, you started to set up a water park, and another woman came into our life, started to do something with us, but that went haywire because the person she tried to fight off, this principality, destroyed the first water park, if you recall. And after that, with the power of Jesus Christ and his angels, we have been setting up a new water park with a complete new setting of security, and also with a veil that cannot be penetrated by the dark side. And over the villages now, we also have created a security veil, if you like, so that they are safe. Not to mention, over the counseling years, you also added about 9,000 active angels on the inside that have been operating, some working in the schools, some working in the security. Because if you recall, we still got coffins of darker altars on the inside. And we had on a few occasions that the darker altars has been kidnapping and sacrificing little altars that were just liberated in one of the raids that we do on a weekly basis. As I already pointed out, they created a zillion of internal programming centers who are running on real time to our world. And this is what they did with us. We got programmers that also looked like an exact copy of our programmers. We had programmers that looked like Baron Guy de Rothschild, for one, and Filipina de Rothschild. We had programmers and persons that we run into, like, I think we had a Hillary Clinton that we run into, if you remember, with the cloning centers. We run into a George Soros, among others. They had cloning centers, created cloning centers on the insides, if you recall. And we had obliterated, was it last year that we obliterated those centers? I think before the election period.
Well, the Hillary Clinton cloning centers were definitely obliterated during the campaign trail. And I personally believe that had direct implications on her campaign. and the way she was able to power herself up with illegitimate and satanic strategies.
Yeah, because we out of recount what was down in the Heffalis, because all the details were brought there. Their estimate was, and it was a conservative, was that there were over 90,000 plus cloning parts. And it was only apparently operational for 4 weeks when they took it out. So you can imagine if it would have been running much longer, and I don't think I'm the only one. I wonder how many others like myself are out there who had maybe cloning centers of, let's say, like Hillary Clinton or any other major Illuminati kingpin or member of the Illuminati, that they created those cloning centers in those survivors.
So,
and I even wonder if they are not only creating them maybe in survivors, but even among the normal population who are not per se SRA DRD survivors, but who are maybe so-called alien abductees, and that they use a cover alien masking as an alien abduction, but in reality it's a MILAP abduction, military abduction.
Let me just jump in here for a minute, Robert. I mean, what you're saying is, well, here it is, right? We were dealing with the cloning centers, and folks, let me just back up a little bit and help some of you that are listening with your jaws already on the floor. You know who you are. To understand a little bit of a foundation on why this makes sense. So beginning with this 101 basic understanding of dissociation, when a person dissociates, those fragments of soul that are broken, when they're, you know, soul fragments especially, they will live in the subconscious. Okay, so that's where we begin step one. Many of the parts of a person are understood to live in the subconscious. Now, step two is when we begin to do a biblical study on the word heart, which is leb in Hebrew and cardia in Greek. What we realize is that the heart in the Bible serves the same function as the subconscious in pop culture definition. And so what we realize is that when we begin to look at where a person's broken parts are living or abiding or existing, well, they're largely existing in the realm of the heart. Now, step three, the heart is a realm. And this becomes very, very clear when we look at the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. Which says that a sower went out to sow. And he sowed on four types of ground: wayside ground, stony ground, thorny ground, and good ground. And this is what Jesus says in verse 18 of Matthew 13. Therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. What Jesus begins to explain there is that the field where all of these seeds are being sown is the heart. And the heart exists in different states. The heart can be a wayside ground heart, or stony ground heart, or thorny ground heart, or good ground. And what many people haven't understood is that a heart can shift as it's tilled. In other words, a person may have a season in life where they are wayside ground, and then something happens, and the heart state of that person shifts, and suddenly they're able to receive things from God, or they're able to receive the kingdom of God, when as before that event they weren't. And so what we see is that the heart is a realm, because just like a field is a realm, you can walk around a field, you can throw seed here, you can throw seed there. That's the heart, which is the subconscious. It's a realm. Now, when we begin to think about a field, let's say I buy a field, you know, here in Dallas where I live. Well, if it's zoned for business, I could put a building on top of that field. I can also build a house. I can set a plot and farm on that plot of field, but somewhere else in the field, I can dig a well. So you can put all kinds of things in a field that you purchase. With the territory of the heart, because it is a realm, it exists the same way. A building can be constructed. But when you construct a building in the heart, that exists as a component of what we are going to call an inner world. It is part of the person's belief system, which means it exists just as real as a building in the 3D world to that person and to the parts of them that are fully engaged with what is inside. And this helps us to walk into the revelation of inner worlds, which exist within the subconscious and are essentially overlapped upon the spirit because the heart links body, soul, and spirit through it. Now, when we begin to get into the kinds of fancy things they do within that territory, once the programming begins, we do run into some of these higher level issues, like the installation of cloning centers, which are exactly that. They are taking fragments of some kind of leader or powerful person that the powers of darkness want to promote, and they take an essence of them, a piece of their soul fragment, and put it inside of somebody else. And then they install a center on that territory. They build it, and they begin to clone the soul fragment just like you would clone a sheep. And they can clone a sheep. You can clone all kinds of things. You can clone cells. You can clone lab mice. You can clone people. They have physical clones of people running around right now. Just ask some of your Hollywood spokespersons that are speaking out about some stuff right now. And Robert, and he'll tell you, yeah, they have clones. They have human clones. They've had them for a long time. They have a whole variety of clones. But what people need to understand is that there are more than just physical clones. There are soul clones as well. And what happened with the agenda to create the Hillary Clinton cloning center in Robert was that when they were cloning her soul essence, which is non-material, it's ethereal, they were able to project that out from Robert's system as a platform to people around the world. And when those clones of Hillary Clinton were in other people, she had this residual backdoor access to them as a power source to suck power from people around the world to power herself up to be a leader. And when we went after the cloning center, got the records, like he said, brought them to heaven, and then the angels went after the whole agenda, that whole thing to get power from people around the world and farm them like battery packs fell apart as a judgment was rendered. And in the natural, she lost power. Anyway, I just wanted to qualify some of the things you were saying, Robert, so that people are able to keep up with what you're saying, because man, oh man, you're just flying.
Okay. Yeah, I know when I start, I can stop, but that's a flaw. No, I'm not sure if there's a flaw, but I know what you mean. And yes, at least now people know what I'm talking about. So you did explain it well. Connected with clones, or we have now also what they call this IE, Artificial Intelligence Sophie, if I'm correct. I remember from the 1970s at the Montauk base, in one of the sub-programs in Montauk, they already started with artificial intelligence. And at that time, I already saw that they had models, starting with models, that looked very much like us as humans. I remember I saw a movie in the 70s. I think it was called Westworld or something. Until my surprise, the robotics that they had in that movie, I don't know if you know that movie, Westworld, or have heard of it, with Yul Brynner. He was a tall guy and bald. He played as a kung fu master in another series, but he played in that movie, and those androids. But I said, what you saw in the movie, and what you now see in this IE called Sophie, I already saw this the startup of this already in the 1970s. So that is how far this already goes back.
Wow.
And connected with Sophie, I think we only see a very small part of it, because I believe they are much further down the line than what they now show us with Sophie. So but that besides all of this, but connected, yeah, what's that with the cloning and things like that. And you also hear a lot of stories with alien abductions. And what people also don't realize is that I think the number of people with DID is even much higher than the people that come out of the programming. Because remember, when people undergo alien abduction, especially of the negative kind, that also will split a personality, especially when it happens from a very young age. So I think even the number of people with DID outside of the realm of abuse at home, as in some families, the physical abuse, sexual abuse, and I don't mean the MK Ultra, but now the unfortunate, the abuse that happens in a lot of families, the people that ending up with DID. Then we also got, of course, people like myself in the deep programming, coming from the deep bloodline families, and all the other people with SRA, DID, who were put into the programming. So I think the number, even with DID, outside of the realm that we're speaking, is even much higher in this case. In this way, I certainly think we can account also the numbers of people in the hundreds of thousands that had alien abductions as a cause for their DID. So far, I don't think researchers have looked into this part about the cause of DID, about the alien abductions. But that certainly is also a part of it, especially when you're dealing with the Draconians and the Lekis, like some of the gray species that treating people like, pardon my friends. But yeah, if you hear some of the stories, and I have seen it myself in my own abductions, I had several dealings with some of the more, they operated more with empathy, if that is the right word, done in comparison to the Dracos. So I have seen several, the ones who are more empathetic, as I have noticed, as well the very negative ones, because people always talk, oh yeah, all the abductions are all by demons, but unfortunate for people, God has populated this universe with quite some species. We're certainly not the only one. I think, as Daniel last week pointed out, that the heavens, the universe or the omniverse is quite populated with species out there. I think you have.
Here's the thing, and we're gonna be talking a little bit more about this. You know, there's just this passage, guys, in Colossians 1 that, you know, I think is very important for us to kind of grapple with. And it says in verse 19, "For it pleased the Father that in him, Jesus Christ, all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." And so what that's saying is that God has a reconciliation agenda for the entire heavens. Not just earth. It God's redemptive agenda in Christ is anchored to earth. It's established in the earth, but it is for a reconciling agenda throughout all the heavens. Now, what is the full extent of what that means, and where do all the, you know, I's get dotted and all the T's get crossed, and what's the demon and what's a hybrid, and what, you know, we don't have all the answers yet, at least I don't. But I'll tell you, it's a little bit more complicated than I thought. And on this point, Robert, you know, you brought up a couple of species that people have dealt with, including yourself, grays, Draco, reptilians, these kinds of things. Now, a few weeks ago, I did a podcast called Freedom from Non-Human Bloodlines, where I was explaining to people the problem of having genetic markers, code, and blood that is tainted by other groups or species, and how that works as a backdoor so that people continually suffer attack or are remaining accessible for abduction experiences and so on and so forth. Now, one of the most radical groups that I never expected to encounter when I began to help people get free of this stuff was the Elven bloodline. elves. I mean, elves like Lord of the Rings, elves. And we were getting breakthroughs, yet I had very little substantial memory or accounts from anyone for a while regarding what the elven race actually was, or if it was even a real thing, or, you know, I'm just like my head spinning all the time. I don't know what we're doing. Robert, can you tell us what you know about this specific group?
All right. Okay. I know that when people think about elves, they probably think about the little helpers of Santa somewhere on the North Pole or wherever he resides. Or, as in you said, with Tolkien's Lord of the Rings series. Although Lord of the Rings series in how elves looks is much closer that I have seen with my own eyes than the description that probably a majority of people knows as the little helpers with Santa. But I think connected with the elves is probably cross dimensions on the earth. So they do come here in this physical dimension, but I believe that their origin, or one of their origin, is probably the inner earth, if you have heard about that realm. And one of the descriptions, one of the descriptions that I have witnessed from the 70s onwards is that they were the ones that I have witnessed so well in the US, in Scotland, and in Norway throughout my life. Certain time of my life, is that they looked about between 7.5 feet to 9 feet tall. They were slender. They wore about light clothing and robes, and they had pointy ears upwards, and they had very white hair. But one of the things that I saw how they also moved or disappeared is that they took a ball, what looked like a metallic object, that I took in their hands, as I saw on a few occasions, and they put their hand up and started to float in the air. It became bigger, and it became kind of a portal type of thing, because at one point I saw them stepping into it, and they disappeared. So yeah, I take whatever this ball was, but looked like metallic, and it was a type of a portal or something like that. But also, they operate, as I noticed, in a way as what we call telepathy, mind to mind. And at least that is how I perceived them and how I could hear them, or also how they spoke to me. I have seen them on as I said, in occasions in my childhood in the northeastern part of the U.S., as Vermont, Connecticut, and especially wooded areas. I saw them in Scotland, in wooded areas, and also in the forests in Norway. But I also have other experiences that was in Mexico and in Nigeria, and again with elves, but seem slightly a different species. For one, they are smaller. They are probably 7 foot, maybe 7.5 feet max. But also their hair color was, in one case, it was completely black with a bluish tinge. And on another occasion, that was in Nigeria, it was black with a greenish tinge. And also their, in the way how they were dressed was also different, besides that they were smaller and dark, and also darker in hair. Their skin color was slightly, the one that I saw on the northern hemisphere, they had almost like a whitish skin. Very white, pale white. While the ones that I saw in Mexico near the border to the Pacific and in Nigeria, they had more of a darker skin, like someone that lives in the let's say in Spain or Italy, around that, in that areas. So they were not black, but their skin was darker than it is with a Caucasian. And as I said, they were smaller, but I also felt more the energy of them as I could sense, were darker.
Hmm.
And we talked about it, I think, a couple of weeks ago in our counseling session. I already pointed it out, or Lauren, our protective altar, if you recall.
Yes. And that's why we're, I mean, and I was blown away. I'm like, really?
Now you have to remember that people have to remember that the creator of Lord of the Rings, especially the books, Tolkien, he was a 33rd degree Freemason. And in part, that is why he had privy to all the knowledge about the inner earth and the races over there, etc. And that is why he could write about it.
You know, and I think a lot of people have wondered that, scratched their heads about that. There is just such a draw to this kind of thing, and it seems like it goes deeper than just someone's own personal fantasy world.
And of course, now we are saturated with everything with elves in computer games, in movies. I think the latest movie, if people want to see about elves, is, I think, the movie that came out last year with Will Smith called Bright, if I'm correct in name. And in there you already see the various races from the inner earth who fighting, but then they, and it's about, I think, an alternate reality from ours in which the elves lives above world. I think in the movie it is the elves that lives in Beverly Hills and they are the rich, and you had another race, I think the orcs or whatever they were called, and they were a lower species. But in that already you see the world and the fights that are going on behind the scene and under the earth, and that we're going to see in the near future flare up more into our own reality.
So on this note, there have been a whole series of interviews we've done, and then we did a number of them on another podcast, which was wonderful. And while we've touched on it, I don't believe to this point, at least on this podcast, we have allowed you to fully disclose what you have experienced and seen in respect to the underwater kingdom, underwater bases, and the odd creatures and things that exist in that realm. And so, moving on from elves, just if you can, tell me about the experiences that you've had in the underwater realm.
All right, okay. Again, I have to go back to Africa because some of the entry points that I was that we used, or that I was brought to, was Nigeria and Ghana. And there was another country more up north, if I'm correct, Sierra Leone, if I'm correct, could be different naming. And also another point on the U.S. side was on the Bahamas, an island called Long Island, out of all names. And again, Long Island is also, we got in on the Long Island in the U.S., of course, the Montauk Project, but you had on that particular island an entry point. Besides, you had also a cave that was used throughout the centuries for rituals, but you had also an entry point into the underworld kingdom, undersea kingdom. And I think you already mentioned it in, I think, quite a couple of years ago, about the undersea kingdom, if I'm correct, about some of the shamans or medicine, whatever you want to call them. They are witches, they are wizards and warlocks, but of course in the non-Christian population they call them, I think, shamans. Mm-hmm. But they are witch doctors in the end. But a lot of witch doctors, they ending up in the underworld kingdom. So I saw a lot of black people, of course, there from Africa. But I also saw people that came from the U.S. and Europe. But I also saw other type of creatures. Among them, especially when we entered in through our, you could say, astral body, and you go then into the underworld kingdom, you're entering into the gateways, and near the gateways we had witnessed like mer people. If I talk about mer people, I will not say that all mer people are evil. I believe that mer people, unfortunately, like humans, they fell prey to Lucifer conquest. But I will come back later on this connected with something else, connected with a project within the U.S. Naval Research Department. But yeah, I saw mer people there. The ones that I saw there, yeah, they felt dark in the underworld kingdom, I must say. And but you also saw all type of other creatures. And when you entered into the on this land, under the sea, and those cities, it's hard to describe what you see, especially in comparison to the cities that we have, and especially the robbers that we have in our cities. Over there, the streets looked almost like gold. I wonder if it was real gold, probably fake gold or whatever, but what looked like the color. But I also saw laboratories there in which, and it was, I'm now coming back to the 70s and onwards. So I have seen there, they were working on things, what we got now later, decades later, within our society, as you described from also another, I'm not sure a survivor, but I think you read excerpts from a book, I think, in that show.
Yeah.
And so, some of the things that you described in that book, I saw that with my own eyes. And Satan operates, and his minions operates, at least from this big kingdom under the Atlantic Ocean. That is one of them. And this one spans from the coast, before the coast from Africa, up till the Bahamas, and then to South America and then back. So you could say where maybe Atlantis was in the past. It makes me wonder if maybe what we now see as the undersea kingdom, if that was not also the continent of Atlantis. Because I get a feeling the area, because we talk about, it's quite a big area. If you take from, let's say, the coast, yeah, where Nigeria and Ghana is, and you go upward then to the Bahamas, it's certainly a couple of thousand miles. If you take the chart, and then it isn't in a triangular form, so, because there are different entry points in which people can come in. I went in from on two occasions from Long Island on the Bahamas, and on a number of occasions was before the coast of Ghana as well, and Nigeria, and it's, as I said before, you not only see black people, because I saw there adults and kids from all colors and all the races that we have. You could say all the races were certainly represented there. And also, you saw hybrids, because they crossbreeded children with all kinds of other animals, but what we probably can call in the realms of chimeras. In some way, when I was there, it was as if it was also a test garden in a way, with some of the experiments I saw, as if we were back in the time of the Titans in ancient Greek, when we had the Minotaur and that type of creatures, the type of crossbreeds that they also were working on.
And do you remember what your job would be, or maybe on one of the occasions you went there, what?
No, I was brought, one of the reasons, one of the functions that I was created for and programmed for was to become on the highest levels within the Satanic Order, to become, among other things, as a high priest for a select group of people, like queens, kings, and etc., presidents, prime ministers, and things like that. So, and from that, from this, I know that I certainly have met another survivor who is known as Arizona Wilder. Apparently, she has now said that everything she said was a lie and it was fantasy. Yeah, that's the enemy making her say again, because she unfortunately fell prey from 2008 or 2009 back in enemy's hands. But so I certainly have memories of this person, and she was at the same rituals that I was, and we did and performed the same type of rituals, and we have seen the same people. So part of my functioning was that I was, or part of me was, trained to become a high priest. So, and the Satanic Order, the higher echelon within Satan's army, especially of wizards and things, operate from the undersea kingdom. If I'm correct, in the Bible it also is stated, I think, when Satan will rise again, his armies come from the sea, under the sea, if I'm correct.
Well, it's in the book of Revelation, chapter 13, the beast rises from the sea. And I can only surmise that means there is a massive... I mean, some theologians have tried to say, oh, well, that just means that the Antichrist comes out of a group of people, a sea of men. I think there's more to it than that, especially in light of testimonies like yours.
Now, remember that, see, so far I think in discoveries what we have made in the oceans is probably, we have only maybe explored 5% of all the oceans out there. We have explored more outer space than we have explored the Earth itself, and also at the poles, where Admiral Byrd, according to some, were flown into the inner Earth. But so we know more about outer space, in a sense, than we know about our own Earth and what is even what's happening in our own oceans. And so, and also, we probably don't even know exactly how deep our oceans are, let alone what swims there, or even with all the maybe even alien bases. Now, yeah, of course, Satan got his kingdom there. So, if it comes to the oceans, we know hardly anything about it. We know maybe, as I said, maybe 5% what is explored then. Or, so that is hardly almost nothing in comparison to what we have explored in the universe out there, and or what we know about the universe. So yes, there's a lot of things in the oceans that we know hardly anything about, and so yeah, I think the Bible is certainly right in the sense that, or the book of Revelation, as you point out, in my opinion, that Satan, when he comes up, and the beast, and is it with the 10 crowns and things like that, the beast with the 10 crowns, yeah, that will come from the undersea kingdom, and where Satan is preparing his takeover of the rest of the world. And over there he is working with his armies of demons. The black-eyed children are part of it, because I also saw a lot of children demonized, taken over by demons, and those children had completely a life. They were completely devoid with life, and they had black eyes. And later, we had, of course, in the late 90s, early 2000s, of course, the stories about people seeing children with black eyes, and things like that, or people had knocking on their door, children asking, please can we come in, people, if you're listening and you still kind of have, let's say, knock on the door with, it's always two children, or a child and an adult, and they ask him when they, and especially when they got black eyes, and they ask to come in, refuse. Because at the moment that you let them in, they literally, you give them, you grant them access to you and to your household to do whatever they want. And same when they're knocking on your window, on your screen of your car, when you're driving or waiting by a stoplight. Because we had also a lot of people with stories that had the same when they were waiting on the road for a stoplight, and those children were knocking on their windows to ask to come in. And this is still a phenomenon that is still going on, but the origin, or part of the origin, goes again back to the undersea kingdom. What I have seen from the 1970s onwards.
My goodness. And merfolk, you've seen those not only in the undersea kingdom, but also in other realms as well.
Not only other realms, also our own government. They did experiments with sonic weapons and other type of weapons, and the Naval Research Department has been responsible since the 1970s for the massive beachings of whales and dolphins as part of weapon experiments. And when they did those experiments, they sent their agents out in the countries where they do the experiments, and when those massive beachings going on, and it's still going on. Until their surprise, as I have read in a report, is that they found at one point in the 80s beings would look on the opposite upper half like human, but with a fish tail. So we go to the ancient merfolks described by sailors throughout the centuries, and on a few occasions they captured a live one that was still alive in between all the beachings of whales and dolphins going on. And the report that I had read, or parts of it, said or mentioned that they had in total captured over 9 of those merfolks alive. It didn't say if they had died on one point. Most likely they have died, because our government and their agencies, and in particular the Naval Research Development Department, is not one of the most friendly unit within our armed forces. They are the most demonic ones that I have seen. They have no regard for human life at all. When also, what I also have seen, when whistleblowers disappear and they are being recaptured, they most likely ending up in captivity under the Naval Research Development Department for experimentation, and also with hybridization programs as well. So when you hear about whistleblowers has disappeared, in most cases they will ending up under the Naval Research Development Department. And now the experiments that makes Joseph Mengele even pale in comparison. The type of people that work there. But so yeah, the government knew about merfolk. Of course, and as I said, they had captured at least the last, when I had to read parts of it, it was around 2011, and the last that was mentioned at least alive was 2008, that they had some of them in captivity throughout certain parts in the US. And one of the bases mentioned was, I think, either South or North Carolina. If I'm correct, there has also been on YouTube a documentary, I think, about scientists from the NOAA, from one government agency connected with certain research connected with the oceans. Mm-hmm. And I think they also have witnessed naval personnel with beachings of whales, and they thought they couldn't fathom why those people were there, and they found out, apparently. And I think there is a whistleblower speaking out in that documentary who has possibly witnessed one of those merfolk in captivity. I'm not sure if you have seen this documentary.
I did see a documentary about mermaids a while back. So that sounds familiar. I don't remember all the details that was in that particular documentary, but it was certainly fascinating. And to add... go ahead. Finish your thoughts.
Yeah, so our government certainly knows more about that subject. Of course, they don't want people to know, because if people started to realize, wait a minute, merfolks or mermen or mer... the mermaids are real, that also will make people think as well, and maybe even wake up people that there are more than only us benign intelligent species on this earth. Of course, the dolphin and whales got a higher brain functioning than we have, because they are, you could say, multidimensional in certain ways. But they, of course, are not a threat to us, because they don't have the ability to create societies as we does, because they don't have hands and feet. So they are in that way not a threat. But yeah, so the government knows on this level much more than they let us know, and they will do anything and go to any length. And the classification, top secret classification of the mer people is just as high as the alien classifications of ET. If not, maybe even higher.
And one thing I want to just throw in the pot before we move on from this conversation piece is the phenomena of beginning to run into mermaid parts in survivors, which I'm just going to put out there, because if I run into it, someone else will. And this is going to be someone else's breakthrough and deliverance. And so I don't know how this all works, but we have found mermaid parts, and many times they're ethereal. If a person's able to connect with them, they're out of body, they contain a portion of the person's humanity and other stuff. They often operate autonomously from the physical body, so they're not inside of the person, but there's a ability to connect to these things that are floating around, and often floating around in the underwater kingdom. And these quote-unquote mermaid parts that contain a chunk of the person's soul or soul fragment have the capacity to be physically manifested in their own body. At times, it seems, in the realm of the sea. So while there may be, I don't know, naturally occurring mermaids, if that's even a real thing, there's this other part of the conversation, and I don't know how it all lines up, but we have gotten people's fragments delivered from constructs appearing as merfolk in the spirit, which claim to have the capacity to shift out of the spirit dimension and into the physical dimension at times in regions under the sea. And so when we get the human fragments back, we get them cleansed, redeemed, bring them to the feet of Jesus, and sometimes we can take that part and even integrate it right away into the core. Other times it needs its own healing journey inside of the person. There are many, many survivors that are interfaced with the underwater kingdoms, and I believe it is for no other reason than for the fact that the underwater kingdoms carry a major, major role in the satanic agendas for this age. So I just wanted to throw that into the pot. Did you have any final thoughts? Because I want to ask you about something else.
Yeah, as I said, on many occasions, not only when I was brought to the underworld kingdom, I saw them, but also when I went just out astrally out of my body, and I always lived near oceans and seas, and I was always able to see merfolk in certain parts of the world. So they are certainly there, and I think they are just slightly out of our physical dimension. But if you go in the astral, people will be surprised what they see. And I think with Merfolk, that probably they go even back to Atlantis and probably also Lemuria. And I wouldn't be surprised that they even maybe connected to what we call maybe the extraterrestrial question at to a certain point. But again, I do believe that they probably go back to the times of Atlantis on one of the timelines.
So, underwater bases and merfolk, check. I want to talk to you about antimatter, Robert. And there's a reason why. Because right now, there is a team of angels searching out missing pieces of your spirit in an antimatter universe. Now, folks...
I know.
I know this sounds weird. But hey, that's why you're listening. Let's be real. Okay, so the story begins that we found... And here's the basis for this whole conversation. Psalm 51:17. For the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, these the Lord will not despise. The word broken in Psalm 51:17 is the word shabar, which means to break or shatter in pieces. And early in our work, there was a revelation that God gave us that helped me to find 14 pieces. It was 14?
It started with the 14 that you saw before Point Montauk.
Yes.
And then found later out there were still 10 plus more out there. And in total, I think we came on around 28, I think, or somewhere around that number. There are still a few pieces missing. And I must say, from all the people, I was the most flabbergasted, because I always thought that I lived with my whole spirit. So yeah, when Daniel told me, oh, he saw 14 pieces before in a certain layout before Pont Montauk, I thought, yeah, right. And then he asked for God's angels to be sent and to collect them. And those angels later confirmed to me, after the counseling later, yes, that those pieces were brought to the heavenlies to be worked on for healing. And those pieces, as we found out, were used for powering up part of the time travel project within the Montauk project. The Montauk is a hub of various projects all rolled into one major project, but they used apparently my 14 parts in order to power up that part of the Montauk project that also was used in later on. And so I was certainly flabbergasted as I remember when you told me, God gave you the vision about those 14 parts, because I always thought that I always lived on my whole spirit.
And you're not the only one, Robert. You know, many Christians, well, if I get my hands on them, realize that they are not operating with their spirit at all, and completely living life out of the soul for various reasons, most not as severe as your situation. But this is absolutely real. And here's where things got very, very odd. We got the 14 parts delivered, and that was a really big day for us, a really big breakthrough. Angels began to go out and find other pieces of Robert's spirit that had been taken to different areas of the heavens and cosmos. And then it got even stranger than that when they couldn't find them all. They had to begin drifting over into what they essentially told us was an antimatter universe. Now, before we go any further, I'm just going to explain this this way. When you have zero and you create one, and you go from one to zero, zero is the balance. So in order to create one, the basic logic flows that you also have to simultaneously produce negative one. If you create 2, you will have to simultaneously produce negative 2, so that the balance is always 0. And so for everything that is created, there is an idea that there is an anti-component or antimatter version of all that exists. Now, is that exactly the way it works? I'm not sure. However, these angels began to scour an antimatter universe, and we even got a peek one day during one of our sessions where we visited a planet in this realm. So if you don't mind, Robert, can I have your permission to just share a few of my notes from the day that we did some work in the antimatter universe?
Yes.
So
yeah, you have my permission.
Here's what was going on. This was actually in 2016. This was in so this is a few years ago. So we're both kind of stretching our memories to what even happened. And we were on a journey to find Robert's spirit and all of his pieces, and it was just like the week before that we had the angels find Robert's brain hooked to a large holographic computer in the Rigel system. So that was a whole wild adventure. Now, in this particular week, we went through, and I was sitting on my end of the computer, you know, over here in the U.S., going through the coaching, and Robert is telling me everything that he is seeing in the spirit as stuff is happening, and I'm just taking notes and writing it down. So he told me he sees travel at light speed through a number of tunnels. And then he ends up in this place where he said the constellations looked completely different. And there were 250 angels with him, and they approached some kind of galaxy. The angels were all 18 to 24 feet tall, and they drew close to this orb. And they ended up going to this planet, which happened to be planet number 6 in a particular solar system, which had a golden glow and was apparently about twice the size of Earth from Robert's perspective. And there were land masses and a type of liquid on that planet that was like water but not water. And it was protected by some kind of frequency. So we had to use a key to unlock the planet. And then when they went in with the angels, Robert described an orangey dense atmosphere. And Jesus was with us by that point in time. And so he said, everyone's going to the core of the planet, all of the angels, Robert, and of course, I'm over here just taking notes. They went through that orangey atmosphere and into the ocean, which Robert described to me as a substance that felt syrupy and dark. And Jesus told us that the planet was created by him, but the creatures on the planet that Robert encountered were not of him. I remember during the session, there was even one point where Robert kind of jumped. He was like, oh my gosh. And I was like, wait, what happened? And he was in the spirit seeing this massive thing floating through the water, some kind of creature, I don't know. So they get to the seabed and enter the large tunnel, and the planet begins to be invaded by the angels, and they wound up working their way towards the core. And there were inscriptions inside once they accessed the internal components of the planet. It was just a very, very fascinating session. And at this point, Robert, I mean, if there's anything that you are now, you know, being prompted.
Some of the things that we have encountered during our counseling. I remember when we started the counseling, we had counseling sessions, and I was then on the phone, not on Skype, and we had counseling sessions that lasted 7 hours. And so that is when we started out at times. And a counseling session can be quite draining, I can tell you that. But this is some of the things that we encountered and that Daniel probably also encountered with other survivors. I'm not sure in the same way, but you could say, I'm not sure if I would say this is a regular day for Daniel if he worked with survivors. But the reality, reality is certainly for survivors different than the reality for normal people out there, especially what they have done with us. And I'm not only talking about myself, but with other survivors as well. And of course, one case may be slightly more complex than the other and slightly done in a different way. But again, as we started out my case, I have been for 49 years under active programming, and we're still taking down weekly the internal programming centers that are still active or restarted and things like that. So yeah, it is in real-time chess, galactic, cosmic, interdimensional chess match, if you want to call it like that. But I do believe in the end the victory will be ours, as Jesus Christ has also promised us in his books, and especially when you stay faithful, and we will, and this is what people also have to realize, how far this goes. It is not only that you are as a child being hooked up on a computer and you get electroshock through your body. It is much more than that. Mm-hmm. or the physical trigger warning for survivors, if you're gonna be literally raped, as happened frequently with us as well. It is much more complex than those things, but a lot of people may seem to think about survivors and the mechanism of Satan and their plans that we are hooked into.
So I have a final subject that I want to crack open today before we conclude this program. And that is the subject of CERN.
Yes.
What can you tell us about CERN, and what do you have to do with CERN?
We have been used many times in rituals connected with CERN, in which they do blood rituals to, I think it is the Hindu or the Indian goddess or Shiva, I think. Mm-hmm. To appease Shiva, and then they do blood rituals, and it's also connected with the CERN project itself. With the CERN project is in essence what they try to do is finding the keyholes to the pit. That is their real agenda. In order to find the keyholes and unlock the pit where the fallen angels and whatever were placed in there, what the Illuminati wants to unleash. But they use a lot of kits I have seen throughout my years, and I have even been used up till recently, or parts of myself. It's not only me, but also parts of me, as we told Daniel recently, that still has been used at rituals. And CERN, I wasn't brought to the CERN in Switzerland, but CERN got also worldwide centers, the Fermi Labs near Chicago and Brookhaven Laboratories are one of the other centers in the US that are connected with CERN, and they do the US parts within the CERN project, because CERN is a global project. People may think for CERN only about the collider in Switzerland, but there are many smaller colliders that are also operational around the planet, including in the US. And but one of the purposes is, it's not about what they claim to be, looking into the history of the universe and try to unlock the secrets when the universe started, as they try to tell us in their propaganda material. But the real purpose is much darker, in opening up the prison in which God has thrown in the fallen angels and all the other beasts and whatever is over there. And I think some of the type of beasts that we can find is what we may have seen already in some of the sci-fi. I'm not sure. Are you familiar with Cloverfield, the movie?
Well, I've never seen it, but you have told me about it a few times.
There's now a new movie out, but people should see Cloverfield Paradox, and that explains, you could say, the first movie. There are three now out, I think. 10 Lane Cloverfield, number 2 Cloverfield, and from 2008, and then the Cloverfield Paradox, where the paradox that goes before the first movie. And that is, in the first movie, we see that beast coming out of the sea and entering on the land. But that type of animals or creatures and things are being thrown into the pit. And that is what the Illuminati will try to unleash in order for opening for Satan's army and all the chaos that they want to create. And as I said, they are now looking diligently for the keys, for the keyholes, and that is a big part of the whole CERN projects, the interdimensional keyholes. And I think CERN scientists already have said when they were doing their experiments, they already saw a lot of paranormal phenomena going on. They suddenly had ghost activity going on in and around the facility, and also the villages around the CERN complex in Switzerland had also witnessed suddenly a lot of ghost activity. So yeah, they are meddling with forces and not realizing that when they open up whatever they're looking for, this Pandora box cannot be unfortunately closed. And we are playing with dangerous matches, if you like. And the rituals are part of it in order to not anchoring also the project and when the project itself runs, but also it's connected with the various powers and principalities. Because in the end, when we talk about Shiva, and you can probably tell more, she is a power and principality. And one of the many ancient gods, we call them gods, from the ancient world, but in reality we talk about powers and principalities that working for Satan. We dealt in one of our counseling together with our half-sister with Thoth, if you remember. Mm-hmm. And we had a lot of trouble with that. And yeah, he also is connected with time and Montauk and things like that. I think this is mentioned, if I'm correct, in our two parts that I did with Elena about Montauk. So if people want to know about that again, they can listen to that part if that is still online.
Of course it is.
But the thing is that what we call the gods of the ancient worlds, in reality what we are talking about is the dark powers and principalities that works under Satan. I know that non-Christians don't believe in Satan. Strangely enough, they do believe in Lucifer, but they don't believe in Satan. Well, Lucifer and Satan is still one and the same. But yeah, that shows how their thinking is. When we were brought to CERN and the rituals, we saw a lot of other people that partake in rituals. We saw members of the Rothschilds there. We have seen members of the Windsor family at certain occasions. In one occasion, we saw certain members of American Congress and senators over there during the years. But again, with CERN, it is a worldwide project.
Now, can you tell people how they get you from the UK to CERN?
Yeah.
Because that
in a number of occasions, I was picked up. I got a feeling that either I got etheric implants in my etheric body, or somehow some of the darker altars got also implants, and through them that they can find us. Because as I said, to come back on the start, when we started, people seem to think when you come to Christ and you surrender to Christ, then it's over. No way. Certainly not in our case. And they're still picking us up. One of the ways how they're picking up is like, but look for the outsider, like could be like a UFO abduction, because they're hovering in a triangular, in our case, in the triangular black UFO type of craft. And when we talk about those black triangular crafts, we talk about Illuminati vehicles, anti-gravity vehicles, triangular UFOs. And they can, they can bend time and space, and through this they pick you up, and within a second or a few seconds you could be on a different location wherever they need you. And it is like what you see in Star Trek, how you are beamed up, because it feels like an energy comes over us, we are sucked in with this energy into the air, in this case through the ceiling and things like that. And you are then brought on board. And the same as when they bring to a location, you are in a similar way brought to the location where they want you. So they only have to hover above a certain area where they got a very deep underground base. And through the same mechanism, they can beam you in that base without going themselves in. The technology is...
Wow.
I'm sure in how many years or decades or even hundreds of years, their technology is more advanced than what the standard military has or normal science. But in the way how they operate is at least decades, if not maybe even centuries ahead on what we can do in normal in our normal everyday world, in my case. And also in the Montauk, they already started to use things like this portals. They only needed to have your longitude and latitude, the exact location where you are. But then if they had also implanted you already, they have to home in on your implant frequency, and then they could create a portal in your room. And that is how I also was brought to the Montauk from the after 1975 onwards. And so this is going back to the 70s in my case with the Montauk. Initially in the Montauk, they picked you up with a UFO, with the so-called alien who was used. They used it as a cover, of course, because people will say, oh, aliens, oh yeah, you must be not wacko because aliens don't exist. So that's a very convenient cover. But later on, yeah, they used the portal technologies that they could portal into your, let's say, your bedroom. They can take you and they can place you back in the even at the exact time that they take you, or even seconds before. So for everyone around you, it looks as you have never been away.
Well, Robert, I think
a small portion, but I know, and there's much more to everything over some of the subjects. I could even go in much more depth and could fill up probably more shows. But it was a great honor again to be back, and we have done quite a couple of subjects that will make the mouths drop of people on the floor about some of the subjects that we have discussed in here. And I hope that people learn from this and open up their minds to it, and also pray to God and ask God for confirmation if this is all true. And for other survivors out there who are listening to this and you have not found a counselor yet, I want to say there is hope for all the survivors out there. If you want to get saved from all of this and from your bondage from Lucifer, Satan and the dark forces, go to the Bright Ministry website. There's a tab there for counseling, and you can sign in on Bright Ministry, and there are also other ministries out there as well that can give counseling services. There is hope for survivors out there through the counseling that Daniel is doing and the likes of Daniel. So for survivors, go out there and seek help, and you will be saved and get healed. The healing may take a while, but the journey is worth it.
Well, thank you so much for that, Robert. And I just so appreciate you having the boldness and the courage to continue to tell your story, to continue the healing journey. And it's not easy. It's tough. It is hard. And folks, I'm telling you, you have no idea what Robert and all of his parts that are working together to, you know, bring him through week after week and to continue on this healing journey go through. It's just profound. Yet he keeps showing up, and I'm just so proud of him. I mean, knowing what I know about the struggles and the challenges that come against him, and yet the fact that he will not quit. And so, you know, Robert, I just respect and honor that. I honor you. And folks, just a little addendum on Bride Ministries. You can find us at bridemovement.com. And yes, we do offer solutions for survivors. We offer scholarships to work with coaches. And these are people that know how to help survivors of satanic ritual abuse and government-sponsored mind control agendas. We do take some of the donations we're able to raise and apply that to the healing journeys of survivors. We also offer prayer resources at bridemovement.com, which are free. They are available to everyone around the world, and they are the prayer resources that I'm using with people like Robert to get them set free. And also, of course, there is our book, Prayers That Shake Heaven and Earth, which is the collection of a lot of the prayer resources that are on our website, all packaged into one tidy location. And you can pick that up anytime. So, folks, I just want to say, with that, we are done for this week. Robert will be back at some point in the future to continue the dialogue about the depths of the Illuminati. You've been listening to Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. Until next time, God bless and Godspeed.
Amen.
You've been listening to Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. If you would like to connect with us at Bride Ministries or to support what we are doing financially, visit us at www.bridemovement.com.
The Emirates NBA Cup is here. Get in on the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Will LA repeat? We'll find out. Get behind your favorite players and the prop bets you can make on DraftKings, the home of NBA player props. First time? Here's something special just for you. New DraftKings customers. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if your bet wins. Score big with DraftKings Sportsbook. Every point counts. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use promo code IHEART. That's promo code IHEART for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets if your bet wins when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call the Virginia Problem Gambling Helpline at 888-532-3500. 21 and over. Virginia only. Eligibility restrictions apply. Bet must win to receive reward. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/bball.